would face sanctions and health certificates proving vaccination, a negative test or COVID immunity would be required in cinemas, theatres and at concerts from this month. From August, the certificate will also be required in cafes and restaurants. New infections in France have surged by 65% in a week, from an average of 34 to 56 for every million people. President Macron said PCR tests, which have been free in France until now, would have to be paid for from the end of the summer holidays as part of a concerted drive to encourage the entire population to get vaccinated, the only sure path out of the crisis. As in much of Europe and the United States, France's rate of first dose vaccinations has started to slow as it begins running up against more vaccine hesitant or hard to reach groups, potentially threatening the goal of herd immunity. So far, 53% of the total population in France have had one dose of the vaccine and 39% are fully vaccinated. Other countries to have experienced way rapid surges include the continent's most popular holiday destinations such as Spain, Portugal and Greece. Cases in Greece and Spain have more than doubled in the past week, from 7-day averages of 69 and 157 per million of the population to 176 and 316 respectively. The Catalonia region in northeastern Spain, which includes Barcelona, has reimposed curbs on nightlife in an effort to tame an increase mainly among unvaccinated young people. Nearly half of Portugal, where average daily infections have risen from 203.7 to 265.6 for every million people in the past week, is back under a nighttime curfew, with several regions also now requiring a vaccination certificate or negative test to book into a hotel or eat indoors in a restaurant. "We continue to observe a worsening of the pandemic," a Portuguese government spokesperson, Mariana Vieira da Silva, said last week, adding that 60 Portuguese municipalities now represented a high risk of transmission, up from 45 in the previous week. New infections in Germany are rising more slowly, from an average of 6.8 per million to 9, an increase of 32%, with new weekly hospital admissions remaining low at 1.7 a million. Authorities aim to focus on hospital admissions rather than infections, German media have reported. Cases ticked up last week after 2 months of steady decline, and the German Health Minister Jens Spahn has said lifting the remaining restrictions will depend on vaccination rates, with social gatherings of more than 10 people not from the same household still banned for those who are not fully vaccinated. While 90% of the over 60s will soon be vaccinated, it will take a big publicity drive to reach a rate of 85% among the younger population, the German health minister confirmed. About 57% of Germany's total population have received at least one dose of the vaccine, and almost 39% are fully vaccinated. The German daily The Bild reported on Monday that Robert Koch Institute, RKI, the national disease control agency in Germany, was pushing for hospital admissions to be an additional leading factor when assessing the state of the pandemic. Citing a Robert Koch Institute document, The Bild said the agency believed that several indicators would still be necessary for evaluation, but their weighting should change, owing to a decrease in the proportion of severe cases due to widespread vaccination. Experts have said the Delta variant of the coronavirus could account for 70% of all cases in Europe by early next month, rising to 90% by the beginning of September.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. I am joined by my special guest and awesome sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam, my more dear sister and friend, Sister Zainab. I'm really, really, really happy. I'm actually looking forward to the meetings that we have.
You always find a new approach toward ordinary, everyday topics.
That's very kind of you.
During these last few episodes of Muslim Lady, we've been talking about tips and hacks in order to help young wives and husbands in their intimate relationships with one another, help them prepare for pregnancy and reproducing healthy, intelligent, spiritual, and sound-minded little Muslims to increase the nation of our beloved Prophet, inshallah ta'ala. And lately, we've been discussing the sensitive topic of impotency. The solutions, the really easy, off-the-counter, homemade remedy solutions that our brothers out there can refer to. So, Sister Razia, you told us about a few drinks and pastes and oils that they can apply.
Also, cleanliness, hygiene of
yes,
the body.
Yes, very important.
Well,
this is
hair,
something that people neglect because our Prophet was known for smelling good.
One-third of his income, he spent it on perfumes.
Exactly. Or people would know that he was in a place from the smell the fragrance he'd leave behind.
Exactly. And also, I remember when Lady Fatima, salamullah alayha, was getting married, the noble Prophet spent a considerable amount of money to buy perfume for Lady Fatima for her wedding, right?
Exactly.
So it's really important for men and women to keep into account points about hygiene, personal self-care, and in addition to that, not only to be clean and to, you know,
well,
to smell
burned,
like soap,
yeah,
but also to smell like perfume.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And we talked about one very good Islamic way of getting rid of excessive hair, which was through deprecatory powders, which include orpiment and lime. But these two chemicals in it purifies the body of poisons and of the toxicants that are inside the body.
Right.
Imam Ali alayhi salam says that if you get rid of your armpit hair, you will have less bad smell.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam cared about these little details of his Shias.
Exactly.
Like a father. Just like a father.
Just like a father.
It's
things
beautiful
that the Muslim nation in many Middle Eastern countries and non-Middle Eastern countries are neglecting. And, you know, they just think that...
It's material things.
Yeah.
Dunya.
We are very deeply involved with other more important spiritual aspects, whereas these are as important, right?
Exactly.
I said that in the previous program that according to the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two things should a man do if he's a bachelor. First, fast a lot, and two, not get rid of his excessive body hair. Also, according to a hadith from Ali alayhi salam, the commander of the faithful, he says when you use this deprecatory powders, it takes away grief, stress, and anxiety from
Mashallah.
You. Isn't that? So the next topic that we want to talk about that is also with regards to a men's reproductive system is certain points that we would like to mention, like causes of these problems and solutions to these problems, right? which play an important effect in infertility of men.
Right.
Right? So this topic that we're going to talk about specifically talks about infections or swelling in the male reproductive organ.
Mm.
Also, swellings or infection in the urinary tract infection. So we are not doctors here. We're not GPs here.
Yep.
Right? But for the general health of the male's reproductive system, certain very easy off-the-counter remedies are suggested that they can use. One of which is hollyhocks.
What's that?
It's a kind of flower herb.
Okay.
Right? They can make a kind of drink out of it and use it every day, which helps them with the urinary infection that they have, urinary tract infection.
Right.
So how they, what they
Unless, I mean, it's really severe, then probably should go see a doctor.
Besides, of course, you have to refer to the doctor. But besides the medical medicine that you take, you can also use these traditional herbs.
Actually, one of the causes of impotency is anxiety and stress.
So one of the most important factors for a woman to reach the climax in a relationship, in an intimate relationship, is her psychological state.
Exactly.
If all the other factors are great, but she has stress or she's not happy with her spousal relationship and she's upset about something with regards to her husband or her life or her work or her studies or whatever, it will prevent her from reaching that stage.
Yeah. We're going to be back after a short message, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We're back here in the studio, and I have Sister Razia Shamini with me, and we're discussing fundamental topics regarding happy marriage, pre-pregnancy preparations, and
impotency. If the man has a lot of stress from
a lot
work,
on his mind,
a lot
he's
of
preoccupied,
his mind. Exactly.
Something's eating him up at the inside,
he will have
impotency. Obviously. Well, and it's still ironic to me because on one hand, these intimate relationships with the spouse is a stress relief. And on the other hand, if you have too much stress, you can't have a healthy... So it's a balance, an equilibrium that we have to maintain in our lives.
Exactly. That is why the Noble Prophet divided his day into three portions. Mm-hmm. And he attended to three different needs of his soul and body.
Yep.
One for the worship of God, one for himself, and one for his family, if I'm not mistaken. Right? You know, in other words, the point is that going into extremes or becoming a workaholic or paying too much attention to the material aspect of your life, not having a balance in life will create some problems for you that you will get into a very miserable cycle.
Definitely.
Corrupted cycle that you get, you know, you have too much stress on your mind, then you can't have an intimate relationship with your wife, then you will start having arguments and conflicts,
then
you will not have any
stress.
Yeah, it will add to your stress, and this you will lose
cycle.
Your
exactly you'll lose everything,
your marriage, your relationship.
Right. I think it's important that from at a certain point, like especially for the gentlemen or even if the women are working, when you reach the threshold of your home, leave whatever happened behind you. Don't bring the office to the house.
Very good.
Just forget whatever happened. You can think about it tomorrow morning when you go back to the office. When you reach your house, when you open the door, and when you greet your family, you're a new person.
Exactly. This is mindfulness.
Yeah.
To live in the present moment, to live the now. Not to be concerned with the past, not to be over anxious about the future, but to take benefit of the now and present.
Exactly.
Right?
And Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells us so much about this. Mm-hmm. He's constantly emphasizing on the fact that you should let go of your past. Holding on to it is just going to disrupt your future. Don't think about the future because you have to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll provide for you. He'll take care of you. He was there before you were. Just stay with the now. This is all you have. The past is gone. The future might never come. Right? And right now, is literally all that matters, because it's literally all that exists. And we got to be more mindful of that. Constantly like thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or like, what am I going to eat?
But you know, it's just a matter of practice of the mind.
Definitely.
Right? They say that just as our bodies have muscles, and if you want to be an athletic person, you have to
train it.
Train the muscles of your brain,
definitely,
of your mind, right? And I remember traveling to the UK a couple of years ago, and we went to a family. We visited a family, and at the entrance of their door, they all left their mobile phones, like 10 years ago.
Interesting.
Right. So this was a family rule done unconsciously by all of them, automatically by all of them, that you come attend to the social, to the family gathering.
Mm.
It's family time now.
Right.
You leave behind everything else behind the threshold
of
of your home, right? So just as we say that the home is a sanctuary, it's like a very holy place, so act like...
Yeah, we don't observe that. We bring all sorts of nonsense into the household.
Would you bring a non-mahram to
your
house?
Exactly, a total stranger, hitchhiker, pick them up off the street and just...
So disturbing thoughts or feelings or negative energy, they're just they're hijackers, right?
Exactly.
Leave them behind the door.
Yep, yep.
If you could just practice it. Anyways, one practical way of curing it, of course, if necessary, you know, you have to see your physician. But this also very helpful hint is to use the hollyhock, to use like 2 or 3 spoons of that herb, and then take 1 cup of boiling water and let it brew. Drink half of it in the morning and the other half at night.
Mm-hmm.
Also, washing your private part also with this mixture is also very, very helpful. One very practical
solution
is washing your part with vinegar, used for men and women.
Natural vinegar, right?
Natural vinegar.
Right, like apple cider.
Right.
Right.
This is a...
Are we supposed to dilute it a little or just...
Yeah, yeah. For example, 1/2 cup with, like, in a very big pot.
Mm-hmm.
Basin. Like, in a basin, and then you either sit in it or you wash yourself with it.
Right, okay, yeah. Really interesting points. I hope you guys are taking note. Even if you're not facing this problem, and I hope you never do, it raises awareness. It's really important to raise awareness regarding these matters. And I feel that especially in the Islamic society, because of certain boundaries and the modesty that we adhere. So it's really important to talk about these things in a safe and healthy environment, address them, and present solutions for them. Until another episode of Muslim Lady, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illa Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illa Allah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from 1 male and 1 female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and since we're still basking in the blessed wedding anniversary celebrations of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon them, here is what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said when solemnizing the nuptials of his immaculate daughter and his infallible son-in-law. May Allah bless you, prosper you, and produce much good from you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
The Light.
The issue of marine trash has long worried scientists and environmentalists. Now a French engineer has invented a robot to help clean ocean waste. The Jellyfish Bot is a remote-controlled electric-powered boat that helps clean rubbish from the surface of the water. It's 70 centimeters long and 70 wide, almost the size of a suitcase. The robot can collect everything from plastic bottles to masks and even oil and petrol. Despite its wide-ranging utility, Jellyfish Bot has a rather simple mechanism.
To collect trash, you have to do something as simple as possible, because otherwise, if we put too complicated mechanisms, it can get blocked and things can get stuck in the system. We designed the robot with a slide mechanism that goes towards a net, so we fill up the net, we take back the net, and that's the end of it.
The trash-collecting robot is being used at around 15 ports in France, lightening the workload of local cleaners. It has also been exported to countries including Japan, Norway, and Singapore. The makers have also developed an autonomous version of the boat.
Malaysians at a vaccination center in the city of Kuching have witnessed a surprising scene. A T-Rex turned up to get his COVID-19 jab. Fitness instructor Kenny Sia dressed up in a dinosaur costume to amuse people, doesn't he look fabulous, and protect himself. Sia said he made the decision to lift up the spirits of frontline health workers is exhausted by vaccinating over 5,000 people a day. People rushed to take pictures with him, hailing his appearance and historic and funny. A giant 3D cat has risen to fame in the Japanese capital, Tokyo, bringing joy to citizens amid the COVID-19 pandemic. A massive billboard featuring the cat has been installed in one of Tokyo's busiest districts. The realistic-looking cat on a 4K resolution screen appears every few minutes between advertisements. Depending on the time of day, the cat appears differently and sometimes meowing at people walking by. The companies that set up the billboard hope that they can cheer people up during the dark era of the coronavirus pandemic. The display has already caused a frenzy in the city and among the social platforms, with many expressing joy and amazement at the technology.
Peru is full of natural wonders worthy of appreciation in each of its regions. A zoo in the capital, Lima, has now unveiled an incredibly cute and adorable Andean alpaca calf to attract visitors amid dwindling zoo goers due to the coronavirus pandemic. This fairy baby alpaca named Paquita is just 1 month old and was introduced to the public on the eve of the 200th anniversary of Peru's independence from Spain. The zoo has also displayed its families of llamas, alpaca, and vicuña. The three are members of South American camelids biological family and are traditionally valued for their soft and warm wool. They live in the Andes Mountains, which lay thousands of meters above sea level. Peruvians are proud of the history of wools associated with these species, which have common ancestors with camels.
Four German tightrope walkers have set a new world highlining distance record by crossing an Arctic valley in Sweden. The group tiptoed a distance of more than 2 kilometers between two mountain peaks in Lapland barefoot. The line they walked on was set at a height of 600 meters. The four members of the team walked the line one after another successfully, despite challenges including the wind and long distance. It took 2 days for the team to rig the line between the two peaks.
A herd of elephants migrating in China have been making headlines for months. Now they have once again attracted attention. Experts monitoring the animals this week noticed two females engaged in a dramatic fight over the herd's leadership, where they kicked and bit each other. The tussle soon ended after a male elephant succeeded in calming the belligerent giants. The fight happened in China's southwestern province of Yunnan. The herd embarked on a lengthy journey last year after escaping a nature reserve and has since trekked hundreds of miles. The elephant's migration is the longest one in China's history. A distinctive feature, no matter of humans or animals, often catches our attention. You might have heard stories about the big fat cow or other animals you love the most. Here we bring you a story about a cow for her not being big, but for being the smallest. Rani, a 23-month-old cow, is being reared on a farm near the Bangladeshi capital, Dhaka. She is only 20 inches tall and weighs 26 kilograms. Local vets say the little Rani has no physical problems but will no longer gain any weight or height. The owner believes Rani is shorter than the smallest cow in Guinness World Record. The record for the smallest cow so far held by a 4-year-old red cow named Manikyam from the Indian state of Kerala.
We found on the internet that the smallest known cow is living in India's Kerala, which weighs 40 kilograms, but ours weighs only 26, so we believe ours is the world's smallest. That's why we applied to the Guinness World Records. They replied to us saying they will investigate within 90 days.
The tiny cow has also caused tourist frenzy in the South Asian country as thousands are flocking to Dhaka to take a glance despite coronavirus restrictions. The owner says over 15,000 people come to visit her in just 3 days. The dwarf cow has also gone viral on social media. A nearly 22-meter high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sandcastle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The centerpiece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sandcastle in Germany.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news, and more from every corner of the world.
An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having three arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the eighth generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. Astronauts at China's space station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months. Lionel Messi is one of the most popular football players with millions of fans from across the world. But the legendary player enjoys special love and affection in his hometown. Local artists at Rosario relished the chance to honor Messi in a mural on a four-story building. The 14-meter-high and 8-meter-wide giant artwork stands opposite of the school Messi attended in his childhood. The mural depicts him as both an adult and a child. Messi had been the top scorer in European football leagues multiple times. He also received the world's best player award for a record 6 times. The 34-year-old currently holds the Argentinian national team's captaincy. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witnessed the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
The cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace of Allah be upon all of you. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this episode under the title of A Happy Marriage. Today, Wednesday, is the 3rd of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Tir, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is the Holy Quran, chapter Ar-Rum, verse 21.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
And of his signs is that he created for you from yourselves mates that you may find tranquility in them. And he placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Verily, the existence of spouses with this special quality, which is the cause of tranquility of their lives, is counted one of the great bounties of Allah, because these two genders are complementary of each other, and each generally causes the mirth, fruitfulness, and development of the other, so that every one of them is imperfect without the other. And it is natural that there should be such an honorable attraction between a being and its complement.
You are the way of love, chosen to teach us the words of Allah. Mercy and kindness and hope for everyone. Peace be upon you, O Muhammad.
Marriage in a nutshell on IRIB English Radio today is special. In Islam, marriage is not restricted to a platonic relationship between husband and wife, nor it is solely for procreation. Prophet of Islam says, no house has been built in Islam more beloved in the sight of Allah than through marriage. On another occasion, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, the best people of my nation, of my ummah, are those who get married and had chosen their wives. And the worst people of my nation are those who have kept away from marriage and are passing their lives as bachelors. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with felicitous and successful marriage in Islam. we find that based on a piece of hadith related from the 8th infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Rida alayhi salam, once the Archangel Gabriel came down to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that when a person's daughters reach the right age for being married to other people, they are like ripe fruit, and it's the right time for them to get married. We find that Imam al-Rida alayhi salam indicated that the social benefits, social and personality benefits of marriage would be enough for the important reasons for getting married. And Imam al-Rida alayhi salam stressed on the foresightfulness of the spouses, and that those people who get married, I mean both the man and the woman who get married, they must have good power of intellection, be wise, and must be foresightful in order not to ruin their future. At the same time, we find that Imam al-Rida alayhi salam indicated that the ancient pre-Islamic and non-Islamic practices should be violated, because whatever is needed regarding marriage has already been adequately explained in Islamic instructions and in the Islamic practices of the Ahlul Bayt.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
Fundamentals of a happy marriage. One of the fundamentals is friendship. This aspect of marriage has three components. First is to develop a friendship with our spouses. The relationship based on friendship is more able to withstand outside pressures. We honor, trust, respect, accept, and care for our friends in spite of our differences. Second aspect of friendship is to have friendly relationship with in-laws. When couples compete as to whose parents are more important, it becomes a constant source of grief. The third aspect of friendship is our circle of friends. It is okay to have individual friends of the same gender, but couples must also make effort to have family friends so that they can socialize together. Habits of happy Muslim couples were rich to comfort of each other's eyes. Happy Muslim couples strive to be the comfort of each other's eyes. When was the last time you beamed at your spouse or saw your spouse smiling lovingly at you? A smile when you open the door to your tired husband. A smile when you get close to see your wife after a long day at work. Smile at the mother, father of your child for giving you such a beautiful gift. Let your smile be the last thing your spouse sees before they close their eyes to sleep. Smile because there is no reason not to. Why do you think of turning to when you're depressed, afraid, or going through a tough time. If your spouse was the first person that came to your mind, you have a wonderful marriage, alhamdulillah, because that's what Muslim spouses do. They are each other's refuge, inshallah.
The second prerequisite of marriage is choosing my spouse. Salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When it comes to choosing my spouse, which, I'm a young man, which woman do I look for to be my wife? I'm a young woman. Which man do I look for to be my husband? What are the criteria that I want? On what factors do I base my marriage on? There are certain factors and criteria that we want in our spouses. What are they? Because you will find that the factors that we base our marriages on will have the greatest effect on the success of our marriage in the long run. Why did I marry this person to begin with? Was it just because of her beauty? Was it just because of his money? Was it just because I, you know, love at first sight? Or no, was it a much deeper relationship, a much deeper meaning? This is what will dictate the success of my marriage down the line. This is very important. When I looked at that person, at that girl, at that woman, did I think that this woman one day will be the mother of my children? And that's why I married her. That man that I want to marry as a woman, that man, did I consider that he will be the father and the role model for my children? And that's why I married him? Or I chose other reasons? So on what factors did I base my marriage on? This is one of the most important points that what before marriage, we have to be aware of. And that's why Islam says that when you want to get married at a young age. Don't postpone it. Don't say when I'm 30, 40. No, even as young as 20, get married, even as young as 20. But however, once you decide to get married, don't rush in choosing your spouse. Meaning, investigate, research, make sure this is the right girl. Make sure this girl has the right criteria. Make sure that man has the right criteria. Oh, I met this woman on Facebook and then I decided to marry her. This is not the right way. What do you know about her? Or I met this man on, you know, on this either social media app, or I met this person after 5 minutes, I decided, yes, this is the right person for me. That's not how it works. I have to make sure that this spouse that I want to live for the rest of my life with, that will be the father, mother of my children, I have to make sure this is the correct person. Or else, if I rush it, I will end up marrying the wrong person. You know, they say, a woman one day, she attended a gathering, and she was wearing her wedding ring on her thumb. Have you seen anyone wearing the wedding ring on the thumb? It's very rare if you have. So, a woman came and she sat beside this woman. She noticed the wedding ring on the thumb. So she tells her, excuse me, but why are you wearing the wedding ring on the thumb? You're wearing it on the wrong finger. So what does she reply? She says, yes, I did that on purpose. I married the wrong man, and thus I'm wearing it on the wrong finger. So we should try, brothers and sisters, not to be like that. If I just go, you know, without prior investigation and research, then obviously I'll be amongst those that enter into a marriage that is not successful.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان
يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.